Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. The story happened at O'Hare Airport, but it's become a national story about these French bulldogs that were hidden away, languishing in their own feces and urine. They were not fed for days. But before we get to that, Cheryl Greenspan, Director of Marketing at Anderson Animal Shelter, Annette Pearson, the Special Events Director at Anderson Animal Shelter. I want to talk first about what Anderson Animal Shelter is. This is, huge. If you live in the city, you might not know about what's going on in the western suburbs there. But the numbers, and these days shelters are about numbers, numbers of adoptions, numbers of animals taken in and saved, and also the percent of animals saved, are really impressive at Anderson. So the first thing I need to say, because I'm aware of this, congratulations to both of you for saving so many lives.
Thank you.
So tell me, Cheryl, what is Anderson Animal Shelter, and what are your various locations?
Yep, so we have multiple locations all in the western suburbs of Chicagoland. We have our main shelter, which is in South Elgin, Illinois. We have an adoption center at the Petco in Bloomingdale on Army Trail Road. We also have an adoption center in North Aurora on Randall Road and the Pet Supplies Plus there. And we have recently merged this year with Fox Valley Wildlife Center, which is located in Elburn, Illinois. So not only do we take care of cats and dogs, but we also take in, rescue, and rehabilitate wildlife.
Which I want to talk to you about in a moment. I want to ask you if you have been as successful at adopting out the number of animals that have been adopted out all over Chicago going into and continuing through the pandemic.
Absolutely. We've been really amazed. It's really more than an amaze. We are so happy to see what's happening. It's truly a silver lining through a very difficult time that everyone is going through. We care for well over 6,000 animals a year. So we save a lot of lives. And this year has seen, even after we shut down for 6 weeks, our adoptions through the shutdown that happened in Illinois, after and right before, really, we have just, our adoptions have skyrocketed, absolutely skyrocketed. We're, still struggling because of many of our events that fundraise, and they had to be canceled, and a lot of our connection opportunities with our community have to be done differently. But adoptions, we're really finding that people are understanding what an animal means in their life, and we're just seeing absolutely incredible adoption rates. So it's wonderful.
So if I had a crystal ball that would have said, in a year, in 2019, in a year you're going to have this pandemic and people are going to die. It's going to be awful. People are going to be out of work. It'll impact the economy. It'll impact the entire world. I don't know that I would have thought about one of the upsides. I think another upside will be the technology that comes out of all this and the creativity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's true for society. But I don't know. And medications also will probably have antivirals. But one upside I never would have thought about, I don't think, is more animals' lives saved. And that's happening in especially major metropolitan areas all over America. It's certainly happening in Chicago, and I guess you're experiencing it as well. I don't know that people – I think a part of it is people want to do the right thing and want it to save animals. But I think, Cheryl, it's much more than that.
I agree. I would 100% agree. I think in the beginning, that might have been what we thought was happening. I also think we were thinking that people, once they had to stay home, were looking for an animal to care for because it was the perfect time that you had enough time to train. And they could finally have that puppy in their home and introduce it with enough time and care, and being there that puppies tend to need. But now what we're seeing is so much more. And I think it's just amazing for anyone in animal welfare to appreciate that people are really, I think, finally understanding the positive impact that animals can have on people's life. You know, they're finding friends, they're finding companions, they're finding family members. It's a matter of connecting them in a way that they feel that love and that positive benefit of being healthier and being happier because they have an animal. So it's really wonderful for everyone. And I've talked to organizations in animal welfare across the country, and we're all experiencing it, and we're all looking at it as such a silver lining in a difficult year. It really is amazing that people are understanding that that connection even deeper than they may have had before.
Cheryl, I serve on the National Human Animal Bond Association, and we've been talking about, and we've been promoting the fact that the human animal bond we typically think of are companion animals, dogs and cats, but it extends way beyond that, even beyond animals that we have in our homes, like hamsters and gerbils. Yes, pet snakes for some people, or other pet reptiles. However, and certainly rabbits and ferrets, the list goes on, but the human-animal bond can also extend to wildlife, extend to the bond we have or we hope we have with the environment. And I know that, and I wasn't surprised that you're maybe the first, or certainly among the first, shelters in America to say, we're going to extend our definition of the bond, and we are going to help wildlife as well. So tell me about what Anderson is doing right now in that realm.
Absolutely, and we're so excited because with every step we take, we are expanding and kind of redefining what animal welfare is. And a lot of it is about respecting that animals have a place in this world that is just as important as people. And when we involve ourselves and respect animals in nature and conserve their habitat and take those steps to observe those actions that even just, you know, we love pictures of eagles, and we're fortunate to see them a lot in the Fox Valley. Mm. But when we understand why, it's really amazing. It is a bond that may not be what you would normally expect from a companion an animal, but it's a bond to a respect of nature and wanting to see these animals in our environment thrive. And that really does start a whole chain reaction of caring for each other in a different way, respecting our environment, taking the extra steps to, you know, do what's necessary to take good care of our planet, take good care of each other. So it's just, that's where we're going, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, and I congratulate you for that sort of thinking, because I think that sort of thinking will be very commonplace in my crystal ball. I know this. About 20 years from now, and you'll say, we were among the first. Annette. Right. We talked a little bit about how shelters are having a difficult time financially because the fundraising has to be done in an altogether different way. So tell me about some things that are coming up right now, very soon, at Anderson.
Thanks, Steve. I'm excited to tell everybody about some of our events that are coming up in the next couple of weeks, actually. As Cheryl may have mentioned, we have our Walk for Animals that takes place every year. And it will be ending on October 10th this year. But we can't do what we normally did. Normally, we would have several hundred people all gathered in downtown Batavia doing our 5K walk and then having a celebration of everyone being together with music and fun and our animals and some of our adoptables.
So, Annette, everyone can't do that now because of social distancing. So you have other plans. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to hear what those other plans are. Yes, you will come back because you have to hear those other plans from Annette Pearson, Anderson Animal Shelter, just outside Chicago in Elgin and actually several different locations. I'm in Chicago, WGN Radio, Steve Dale. We'll be right back. Steve Dale back with you on WGN Radio, talking to Cheryl Greenspan of Anderson Animal Shelter, Annette Pearson of Anderson Animal Shelter in Elgin is what I think about, but you have other locations as well. And you're working very hard, as all animal shelters are right now, to find other ways to raise needed dollars to keep the place up and running. So you were telling me you can't do the walk. So what are you doing this year?
Well, we've got a really exciting event. We are going to have a live stream concert from the historic Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Illinois. And we are inviting all of the community, along with Anderson's family, which is our volunteers, our fosters, our donors, and our staff, to join us on October 10th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to participate in our live stream concert event. The event's going to go from 1 until 2:30. We're going to feature music, adoption stories. We may have a few surprise celebrity shout-outs, and even more. We're very fortunate that Ron Anesti is going to MC our event, and he's willing to feature some of our lovely adoptable animals as part of that event.
That's great. So how can people learn more about it, participate, get involved?
Well, if you go to www.walkforanimals.org, we have all the details out there. But let me tell you a little bit more about it. So you can't have a celebration if you don't have food and drink, right?
I agree.
So we've partnered with 4 different local restaurants in the Fox Valley area, and they're offering some delicious menu items that people can order for the day of the event. And we've also partnered with Safeway Liquors in Geneva, and they're helping us to offer some beverage boxes. We have 5 different beverage boxes, both with alcohol and then non-alcoholic, that people can buy and pick up the day of the event to host a party in their backyard with their family and close friends and have a safe, fun Saturday afternoon.
So you guys really did pivot. What a wonderful way to do this. I hope other shelters follow. Again, one more time, give me that website.
The website is www.walkforanimals.org.
It's great that you got that URL, too. Walkforanimals.org. Cheryl Greenspan and also Annette Pearson, Anderson Animal Shelter. You guys have done an amazing job. And I want to scream from the rafters. Do we have rafters here? I'm looking. I'll find them because people need to know about animal shelters that are doing amazing work. You, I think, mentioned the number of animals. If not, we'll mention it now, Cheryl. Typically, yes. Over the course of a year that you adopt out?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, with wild animals, it's probably closer to 8,000, but it's definitely over 6,000 animals that we save every year.
Yeah, which is just incredible. I mean, those numbers tell the story, I think. To both of you, congratulations on your great work, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us, Steve. This is wonderful. I'm excited that everybody can join us at Anderson's Backyard Bash on our website. So it's going to be fun, October 10th.
I hope they do. I may be in the backyard, too. You never know.
I love it. That would be huge.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, thanks, have Steve. A great day.
Mary Shefke has a story to tell, which has become national news, actually. Mary is the founder and the president of Chicago French Bulldog Rescue. And we have to do this just because of time rather quickly. So these dogs come in on the Royal Jordanian Airlines. And I'll let you pick up the story from there, Mary.
Yeah, a seller flew these from Jordan on the 27th. They landed in Chicago on the 28th. According to the CDC, the paperwork was invalid, and so they needed to be flown back. Policy is to fly them back the next day or that same day to put them back on the plane. For some reason, these dogs were warehoused in a warehouse in the corner for 4 days before we got the call, and one of the dogs actually passed the day before we were called to come and rescue these dogs. They sat in a corner of a warehouse on the hot days of Chicago summer with no food or water, sitting in their urine and feces for 4 days. They were totally ignored and neglected like luggage that had been lost. CDC did not move them. They did not fly them back. They did not take care of them. They did not provide medical care for them. When we were called to come and get them, the Chicago Police, FBI, CDC, Customs, Border Control were all there, wanted them out of the warehouse, out of the situation they were in, didn't see that they needed veterinary care. We picked them up, followed protocol, took them all to isolation vets where they remain to this day, made sure they got medical care. When the CDC makes a decision to refuse entry to living vulnerable animals, they need to have a better plan for taking care of them. The agency should have taken them directly to a veterinarian instead of allowing them to linger for days without adequate care. If they had done their job, all these dogs might have lived, and our rescue would not have been put into this position that they have put us in and left these dogs at death's door.
And you're financially culpable, too. We're talking about $20,000, I understand. Also, just to be clear, we're talking about this happening at the very end of August. And when dogs come in and the paperwork just is not right from another country, they're supposed to be flown back literally the same day or on the next available flight. That didn't happen. They were kind of hidden, literally hidden in this warehouse. Only circumstances by a bystander, a truck driver, happened to say, I see some dogs there, and offered that information to a Chicago police officer who did the right thing, saying, we are going to do the right thing for these dogs. You have done the right thing and did so under all of the rules as far as having PPE, taking them to the veterinarian, because we're talking about potentially dogs that could bring infectious disease into the city of Chicago that could affect other dogs or people or both. You quarantine the dogs for some time, and now the CDC, after you thinking, I'm sure I could adopt out these dogs who are now healthy, why not? The CDC is saying, no, send them back on a 13-hour flight to Jordan, which they are, remember, French bulldogs. We call them brachiocephalic breeds because they're not great at breathing. They have limited airway space. So they don't do well in cargo on planes. The ASPCA and others suggest never do that. But they're saying, okay, do that. 13-hour flight back to Jordan. You have no choice in this matter, huh?
They're a federal agency, and they oversee everyone. What they say goes. And their response to politicians who have tried to get amnesty for these dogs to let them stay here, we're told that they don't need to be here. They're being flown back. That is the CDC stand.
How do you feel about this?
You know, Steve, my concern is that, one, this is an ongoing issue at O'Hare. It seems that the importers know that these dogs can be slipped through and they look the other way. We're very fortunate that a Good Samaritan said something and caught these dogs. We took in 27 French bulldogs that were legally transported from the Ukraine 2 years ago. This is an ongoing issue, and these importers know Chicago's the place to send these dogs. And my biggest concern is, yes, we've gotten these dogs healthy enough that hopefully they can survive the 13-hour flight back, but my concern is also that the CDC is asking us to return these dogs to the same warehouse and the same airlines that neglected them terribly and didn't do what they were supposed to do. The CDC is asking us to return these dogs to the same agency that didn't do what they were supposed to do the day they landed. And my concern is, what is going to happen to these dogs in Jordan? Are they going to try to fly them right back here in another 13-hour and try to sneak them through another city? Or are they going to try to fly them right back here to Chicago now that the heat's off and sneak them through again?
All possible. The CDC, once again, it seems this has been a trend in many different ways, right? CDC just not doing their job. Mary Shefke, you've done yours way above and beyond yours of Chicago French Bulldog Rescue. Thank you so much for everything you and your organization has done. We're with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate everything you're doing.
I want to thank Mary Shefke of French Bulldog Rescue for coming on the radio with us. I appreciate that, Mary. And I appreciate the work you and, incidentally, other rescue organizations do every single day. But you went way above and beyond in many ways, financially, too. $20,000 to get these dogs that we spoke about back into any sort of condition that you were thinking, oh, I can adopt these dogs out, because they've been in Chicago now at the point in time that we're talking for weeks. You know, so these dogs come in, the CDC and other federal agencies, when the paperwork is not right, appropriately so, are supposed to immediately send dogs or other animals right back to where they came from. I mean, we don't want to bring infectious disease to the United States or to Chicago that can cause problems for people and or animals. I understand that. I agree with it. It makes perfect sense. But the dogs, I don't know why they were in that warehouse. And nobody knew about it. What's more, the dogs were not fed. They weren't cared for at all. One died. And two dogs, we didn't talk about this in the interview, two dogs got away. No one knows where they are, or if they've been vaccinated for who knows what, or what they may have, and they're poof, gone. CDC should care about those dogs. They don't. They somehow care about the dogs that we know have been cared for, that we know have been quarantined, that we know at this point are not carrying any infectious disease at all. Yet they demand that these dogs go back to a situation, never mind the 13-hour flight, that they go back to Jordan, and who knows what can happen to them there, as Mary said. I don't understand what's wrong with the CDC. You know, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention used to be the ultimate on the planet to look up to do the right thing, based on science. And they're not doing that in this case for reasons I cannot explain. I'm a proponent of the idea of no dogs or cats or rabbits being sold at pet stores. Why? It's because where they're sourced from. I've talked about that so many times on the radio. Well, there's a loophole. We have that law already in Chicago, but there's a loophole that some of the pet stores have taken advantage of. And we're going to talk with Alderman Brian Hopkins next week or maybe the week after, I'm not sure yet, about how to close that loophole up, which City Council will be in the process of doing. We will talk to you next week on Steve Dale's Pet World.